Good afternoon and welcome to Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. Today on Health Cetera, co-producer Kenya Beard will be continuing her series of reports on implicit bias in healthcare and health disparities. But first, I want to talk about elder abuse. This remains a significant problem in the United States. It's estimated that 1 to 2 million Americans aged 65 or older have been injured, exploited, or otherwise mistreated by someone on whom they depend for care or protection. June 15th was declared a World Elder Abuse Awareness Day to draw attention to this disturbing problem that affects some of the most vulnerable people in our nation and world. And we didn't want to let the month go by without talking about this important issue. And here to talk with us about elder abuse is Dr. Terry Fulmer, a registered nurse and president of the John A. Hartford Foundation that is dedicated to improving the health and care of older adults. Over the years, Terry has been a researcher and leader in addressing elder abuse. Terry, thank you so much for joining us on Health Cetera today.
Diana, I'm so pleased to be a part of the program and to share my thoughts about this very serious problem that you've outlined. I just am very pleased to be here.
So let's start by talking about what elder abuse, what constitutes elder abuse? I mean, we do hear about elder neglect. Are they the same? How do you distinguish them?
That's a great question, Diana. And I like to think about elder mistreatment as the array of problems that exist in this very serious geriatric syndrome. Abuse, neglect, exploitation, and abandonment are all actions and ways in which we hurt an older person, and therefore they suffer elder mistreatment. If I were to just be a little more specific on that, we think about elder abuse generally as the physical act of hurting an older person. One could be rough with an older person or in fact, slap, kick, hit. Then when one thinks about neglect, it's usually the withholding of services, either intentionally or unintentionally, and that can be very complicated for anybody in healthcare who's trying to do that very important assessment. Exploitation, we see in the news all the time. Brooke Astor, a classic example of an older person who became frail, lost her memory, and lost control of her finances. Abandonment. When someone drives you to an emergency room and leaves you is a classic example.
So when we use the term elder abuse, are we really referring to elder mistreatment when we talk about that, or is this World Awareness Day on elder abuse really specific to the abuse part?
We are using the term generically there. Okay. Elder abuse really means elder mistreatment.
Yeah.
And the reason I think we stick to that term is the public understands it.
Yeah.
And then it's for all of us in healthcare and in health leadership positions to say, and let's go a little further with that.
So how does somebody know if an older adult is being abused, using that term broadly?
So
if we, you know, we have people in our families, we have people who are neighbors, we might have some suspicions. What might be some signals?
That's a great question, Diana. And let's think about it from the perspective of who you are. As a nurse, I have a higher level of responsibility when I think about the people I'm in touch with because I know what a physical assessment might look like on an older person. As a neighbor, I will have probably a little different lens on the issue. But all of us have a sense of what it means to live with quality of life. And when we see unusual things like a person who has bruises that are unusual, or a person who might be quite tearful and it's unexplained, or a person who is unable to pay their bills and all of a sudden their lawn isn't mowed and they're very disheveled, there's something going on. Maybe what you're picking up is the beginning of cognitive decline, but maybe not. And that's where we have to ask people, do you feel safe at home, and are you getting the care you need?
So I want to share with you something that I experienced, and I'd welcome your thoughts on this. So I have a house up in the Catskill Mountains, and I walk up a very steep road, and there is a house there with a woman who used to be very old. She's since died, but it was fairly recently that she died. But she was in her 90s. And I know that her son, who lives away, had arranged for somebody to come in and to spend a good bit of time helping to care for her. And after some time had passed, I walked by the house one day, and I heard this caregiver yelling at the woman. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, should I go to the door and knock on the door and just ask, is everything okay? And I didn't do it. It could have just been that she was yelling because this elder woman maybe was, you know, had some cognitive impairment and was doing things that maybe were harmful to herself. I don't know. But I think it's these dilemmas that we find ourselves in, that it's like, so what do I do? Do I assume first that there may be abuse there in act? Or do I think, well, you know, maybe it's not.
Okay, so, and next time,
yes,
stop and ask.
Okay.
And just say, is everything okay? Can I help you? We have nursing as a part of our wonderful persona. And you can say, I'm a nurse. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Immediately, people respond to us in a way that is a little bit different than if we're not. For those who are not, it's still a very reasonable question. Is everything okay? Can I help you?
Yeah.
You're not accusing anybody. You're not doing anything but being a good citizen. And I think if more of us did that, the world would be a better place. Like you, one time I was in a ladies' room in an airport, and this wasn't an older person, but in the stall next to me was a young mom who was clearly losing it. And I said, would you like me to hold the baby for a few minutes? And in that moment, something important happened so that, you know, she was able. And I think that what you're saying is a very good example of something all of us can do.
Yeah, yeah. And so if somebody suspects that somebody's being abused, what should they do about that?
And so let's talk about the different categories of people. If you're a nurse, physician, social worker, you're going to be more aware of resources. And Adult Protective Services is a resource for the nation. They are leaders in helping us understand what's going on with very sensitive cases that could potentially be elder mistreatment, and then again, could just be inadequate care for reasons that can be solved. So if you are a well-intended neighbor, you might go to your clergy, you might go to the Alzheimer's Association or the YMCA and ask for advice. These are well-connected national organizations that always can at least give you guidance as to who else you might call. If you're worried, you call the police,
mm-hmm.
because the last thing any of us want to do is be the person who said, if only I had called.
And if I suspect something, can I call information and ask for Adult Protective Services in my community?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So the other place that we hear about abuse happening is in assisted living facilities and in nursing homes.
Right.
And so if you have an elder who is in one of these facilities, it may be that you have no other place for this person to be. And there's,
mm-hmm.
I think, this fear that, well, I don't want them throwing my mother out.
Right.
So how do you handle that situation where you fear that your loved one is being abused in some way or neglected?
That is one of the most heart-wrenching questions I get. Because the least we could do is have people feel safe in a long-term care facility.
Yeah.
And the fear of retribution is one that gives me the most angst, because everybody should be free of that concern. And I am a realist enough to know that that's not the case currently.
Mm-hmm.
We know that when we had the over 87 laws come into place, the Ombudsman Reconciliation the Ancient Act of 1987, we pretty much changed the way people used restraints in this country. And we changed the way that people thought about long-term care facilities and nursing homes. But we have a long way to go. There's a myriad of problems. There's for-profit homes, not-for-profit homes. There are people who are working very hard in these, nursing attendants working very, very hard, getting minimum wage, maybe not getting benefits, could be exhausted. But there is never a moment where it's okay to be abusive to an older person. It takes leadership. They're called nursing homes, and that means nursing leadership, to make sure that everybody's aware that we have zero tolerance. This is a never event, and we will all stand together and make sure it never happens. And so each one of us, and in this month of Elder Abuse Awareness, each one of us has to make a pledge that we're going to go back to our jobs, back to our long-term care facilities, and start a task force to say, how will elder mistreatment be a never event in this organization?
And so if I am a relative of somebody who's in one of these facilities, who do I go to? Do I report it to somebody up the chain, or do I call Adult Protective Services?
You can call Adult Protective Services. You can also call your state Department of Health, because they are usually the organization with jurisdiction over the long-term care facility, and they will go and do an assessment right away.
And if I report that, does the nursing home know that I reported it?
It's anonymous. They will not be able to determine who made the call. Families say to me, well, they're going to guess who it was. They may guess, but they're not going to know. And if there is further behavior, then there'll be another report, and there'll be very serious ramifications. Nursing homes have been put into receivership for this issue. And in my practice, we had a nursing home. The patients kept coming to the emergency room with egregious pressure ulcers, urinary excoriations, dehydration. And we called the state and called them again. They put them into receivership and moved the patients and closed the nursing home.
Wow.
That's a very, very serious endpoint. None of us want that to happen, because we need every nursing home to be the best nursing home. And there will be moments where you have to take a stand.
Now, Terry, for people who would like to find out more about elder abuse and what can be done about it, do you have any particular websites that you recommend or sources?
Yeah, the website I'm most impressed with most recently is the Department of Justice. And Andy Mao, M-A-O, Andy Mao has done a remarkable job in his leadership with the Department of Justice in putting together resources for clinicians, for families. Not only does it have resources about how one, quote-unquote, reports, but also what you need to know. Also, the National Center for Elder Abuse has a website, and if you Google either of these or email me at, terry.fulmer@johnahartford.org, I would be happy to help.
And one more time on that email address?
It's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, .fulmer, F-U-L-M-E-R, at johnahartford.org.
Great. Well, Terry, I want to thank you very much for coming on to Health Setter today to talk to us about this important issue. Certainly helped me and has given me the impetus to make sure that the next time I think the person is yelling at a person who's hard of hearing, I will go and say, is everything okay? So thank you for those words of wisdom. We've been talking today with Dr. Terry Fulmer, a registered nurse and president of the John A. Hartford Foundation. Terry, thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank
you for the opportunity, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy. You can follow us at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediapolicy.com.